Well, good morning, Crossline. My name is Clint Ettinger. I am the Director of Community and Discipleship here at Crossline. So excited to be with you guys this morning. And I just got to say, if God is a big cloud of gas, then I have made several gods in my lifetime. Now, I'm really excited to start this new series, Decoding the Divine. As we were kind of creating this and talking about how this was going to play out, we just really have a prayer that throughout this series, that each and every one of us comes to know God better. But we don't want you to just have more head knowledge about who God is or his qualities or things like that. What we really are praying for is that you have a deeper, next level connection with the God of the universe as you continue to grow in your knowledge of who he is. We hope that it's not just head knowledge, but it becomes heart knowledge. We just spent 6 weeks, if you missed it, I encourage you to go back. It was a great series called Made to Win. We spent 6 weeks talking about winning with Jesus. And to win with him, you've got to know him. You can't win with Jesus, you can't win with God until you really know who he is. And as we just saw, there's a lot of different thoughts about who God is and what he's like. And even reading about him in the Bible can be confusing. You know, sometimes maybe the Bible can feel like IKEA instructions. You know, it's like insert tab A into slot B, and you step back and you're just looking at a pile of planks and wood, and you have no idea what it is you're even building, right? But instead of a dresser, it's our whole lives that we're talking about. And so over the next 5 weeks, what we're going to do is make the picture of who God is clearer so that we can all win. We're going to decode who the divine is so that we can all understand and win with God. You know, one of the things that muddies up the picture of who God is and what he's like is our own personal experiences, the things that we go through in life, and especially it can be our experiences with our parents. And today, we're going to talk about God and one of the most common ways he's expressed himself in the Bible and the way that Christians have been talking about him for centuries. And that is this way, as God the Father. We're talking about God as Father and his role in that. And God as Father can oftentimes be very hard for us to fully see because of our relationships with our earthly dads. Heavily influences how we see our Heavenly Father. Man, our relationship with our earthly dads don't just impact how we see God, it impacts how we see the world and how we interact in other relationships in our lives. It's so influential that it also impacts a lot of music. There's a lot of music that's impacted by relationships with dad, including this next song that we're going to hear by Everclear.
Father of mine, tell me where have you been? You just closed my eyes, my whole world disappeared. Father of mine, take me back to the day when I was still your golden boy before you went away. I remember blue skies walking the block. I love the wind you held me high. I love the way you talk. Take me to the movies, take me to the beach. You would take me to a place I thought so hard to reach. Father of mine, tell me where did you go? Had the world inside of hell, but you did not seem to know. Father of mine, tell me what do you say when you look back at your wasted life and you don't see me? I was 10 years old, doing all that I could. It wasn't easy for me to be a scared white boy in a black neighborhood. Sometimes you send me a birthday card with a $5 bill. I never understood you then, and I guess I never will. Daddy gave me a name that walked away. Father of mine, tell me where have you been? I just close my eyes, the whole world disappeared. Father of mine, tell me how do you sleep with the children you abandoned and the wife I saw you being? I will never be saved. I will never be saved. I will always be with.
Man, what a such an awesome song. I love that song. It's so catchy. You're going to be singing it for the rest of the day. You're just going to be later in your day. Like, it's so good. I love that song, right? It's so catchy. And it's so unfortunate that so many of those lyrics ring true for so many people. I mean, you can hear it in those lyrics, right? You can hear the fear. You can hear the loss of love, the pain. That line in that third verse where he says, I will never feel safe. I will never be sane. Man, there's so much wrapped up in just those two little bars right there. I know this song hits home for me. I've had a lot of hurdles to overcome in the arena of father myself. My parents divorced when I was about 3 or 4 years old. And for a good chunk of my early years, my dad was just gone. He wasn't there. He wouldn't. He couldn't. And he wasn't there. And I missed that relationship. And then as I got a little older, he got a little bit more stable. And we started having him in our lives again. We'd spend some weekends with him as it made sense and as it worked out. And those times with him, a lot of times were turned abusive, both physically and mentally. Every time I was with my dad, I felt like I was walking around on eggshells because you just never knew what was going to set him off. And so it was just like, man, just try not to mess up on anything. Don't say a wrong thing. Know where everything's at. Always have the answer, because if you don't, you never know what dad's going to do. And what I didn't realize is that until a lot later, is that things that I felt about my dad, I would actually import onto God. And it would impact that relationship. Maybe you're here this morning and you're like me and that song really hit home for you. Maybe you're resonating with some of my story. Or maybe you've got your own ways in which your earthly dad didn't show up for you in the way that you needed or the way that he was supposed to. This morning, my hope is that you will take that baggage and just kind of pile it up and just lay it down for the next little bit and allow God to show you how a father should be and the kind of father that he is, because he wants to have a relationship with you as God the Father. And maybe you're here this morning and you're just like, dang, I feel bad for y'all. That's depressing because my dad was great. Like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Maybe you're there. And if that's you, I just want to say praise God. Like, I am so thankful for great dads. Man, can we just, I just praise God for great dads and great childhoods. Like, that is an amazing gift to have. And if that's where you're at, that's awesome, and praise God for that. But maybe you too, because as great as your dad was, is, he's not perfect, because none of us are. And so maybe even you can just lay that relationship down for just a moment, because I believe that the God of the universe has a next level experience as a perfectly heavenly father that he wants to give to you this morning. I believe that no matter where you're at, God wants to speak to you. He wants you to know him as the perfect heavenly father. And so this morning, as we get ready to open up God's word, I just want to pray for us. And so if you would you bow your heads with me, close your eyes, and I just want to pray over this service. Father God, would you open up our minds? Would you open our ears? And ultimately, would you open up our hearts that we might know you, that we might see you, and that we might fully experience you as the perfect heavenly Father. Would you guide me in speaking? May my words be clear and helpful. Would you be with us throughout this service? In Jesus' name, amen. And honestly, as I started preparing for this message, I was like, we could do a whole series on God the Father. Like, there's a lot to really kind of unpack there. But I don't have a series. I've got the next 20 minutes. And so we're gonna focus in. We're going to kind of zoom in here. There's some things that we're not going to be able to get to. But I think I have kind of honed in on three attributes of God the Father that I believe really define the heart of God the Father. And if we... you know, understand and allow these attributes to sink into our hearts this morning, I think that it could radically transform our relationship with God. And if you're here and you're still just checking this church thing out, you're like, I don't even know if I believe in Jesus yet. I'm surely not ready for God the Father. You know, like, if that's you, I just want you to know, I'm glad that you're here. And I think God's got something for you today too, because even if you don't know him yet, he loves you. He sees you right where you're at, and he wants to have that relationship with you. And so my prayer is that you would lean in and just hear how God the Father wants to be a father for you. And so the first transformational truth about God the Father is this: the Father loves. The Father loves. I didn't know how much I struggled with this one early on in my faith journey. Right, like, as I was getting into church as a teenager, I learned pretty early on that, like, Jesus is cool, right? He died for me. That's pretty awesome. Like, anybody that would do that for me, we can be good, you know? So me and Jesus were cool. And I started going to a Pentecostal church, right? And so I got to see people operate in gifts of the Spirit. And so I knew that the Holy Spirit would let you do some cool, weird stuff, right? And so I was good with the Holy Spirit, and I was good with Jesus. But when I started thinking about God the Father, I was like, I don't know about that one. I assumed that God was just kind of this big guy up in heaven who was just waiting for me to mess up so that he could get mad and punish me. That is how I viewed God. Almost like he was some sort of cosmic hall monitor just waiting for me to be out of class at the wrong time, right? Or if you're familiar with the movie Monsters, Inc., there's this character named Roz who's always watching this other character named Mike. And every time he walks by, it's just kind of this grumpy looking, like, monster lady. And she just stares at him. She's like, always watching, Wazowski. Always watching, right? Like, that's kind of how I viewed God the Father, right? That was how I saw it. And so what do I do from that part of God? Well, I hid. I hid from that part of God. I totally pulled an Adam in the Garden of Eden, and I was just like trying to hide, right? Not physically underneath a pew, but like emotionally and spiritually, I was withdrawn from God the Father. I didn't want anything to do with that. I had enough father in my life at that point. And so I would pray to Jesus. I would take all my problems to Jesus. Me and Jesus were cool, right? Jesus never did anything to me. But with God the Father, there was a disconnect. I wasn't connected with God the Father. For me, there was an unadmittable fear, because I was afraid of what God would do if he saw me fully. And as I was on that journey, ironically, God just works like this. The same dad who had left so many roadblocks in my life also played a really large role in my faith. And one of the things that he did right after I graduated high school, he gave me a book that really helped change my life called Crazy Love. It's a book written by Francis Chan. And more stories for another day, but because God is so good, my dad and I have actually found healing in our relationship, and we're actually in a good place right now. But that book that he gave me played such a huge role in my relationship with God and understanding of God that it's actually still one of my go-to recommendations and must-reads for anybody who hasn't. Crazy Love by Francis Chan. He does such an incredible job in this book of writing about what it looks like to love and be loved by God the Father. And this is essential to understanding and knowing the Father. Why? Because love is God's defining characteristic. If you were to take God and just all that he is and boil it down to one word, it would be love. And look, this saying that God is love, it's not just a platitude or a nice way to say like God's cool and you can trust him, right? Like it's not just a thing that we say. Love is the very essence of his being. And he doesn't just love in the general sense of like, I made everything and I love all the creatures that I have created. No. He doesn't just love. He loves you. You specifically. He loves you as if you were the only person in the room. In a sea full of people, he loves you as if you're the only one there. And this might be hard for some of you to receive. Like if you're here and your dad never said, I love you. If those words never came out of his mouth, that might be hard for you to receive. If your dad's love felt like it had strings attached. If your dad's love, if your dad's silence made you wonder if you mattered. Then you know how hard it can be to believe in a God who loves unconditionally. But here's the good news this morning. Your heavenly Father's love is not based on your performance. He delights in you simply because you are his child. And we see this in Scripture. One of the places we see this is 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Just kind of the first half of this verse here. We're going to read it. See how very much our Father loves us. For he calls us his children, and that is what we are. Full stop. No need for Bible study. You just read this, okay? Let this one sink in. See how very much our Father loves us. For he calls us his children, and that is what we are. This school year, my life rhythm has changed a little bit. My daughter switched schools, and so now I take her to school and pick her up because the school is 5 minutes walking distance from our house. So every day we walk to school, and then I walk and pick her up. And, in the afternoon when I go to pick her up, there's a lot of people out there. There are parents, there are siblings, and they're all waiting around this one little gate, right? Just gather around, big group of people. And then as it gets close to dismissal time, the horde of children is released, right? And they start walking down, and there are people, and there are cars, and there are buses and dogs, and it just feels like absolute chaos every afternoon. Not my scene particularly, but I'm out there for my daughter. I'm in the middle of all these people, and and then all of a sudden, I see a beautiful head of strawberry blonde hair walking down the sidewalk with red cheeks because recess is really close to dismissal for her, so she's still hot, and a backpack that's almost as big as she is. and she's carrying the day with her. Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not. And if we lock eyes, and in that moment, everybody else just disappears. And all I want to do is wrap my arms around her, tell her how much I love her, and hear all about her day. That is exactly how God sees you. That's exactly how God sees you. Whether your day has been good or bad, whether you're hot and tired and loaded down, maybe your clothes are messed up and stained, you've got too many things to do and not enough hours. And he just loves you. He just sees you, and he just loves you. And all of that other stuff, it's just secondary. See, with God, we're more than accepted. We're delighted in. It's not just okay that you're here. With God, it's not just, yes, you can come. You are literally the object of his affection. He loves you as if you are the only person in the room. See, that's what a perfect father does. He loves. And he loves perfectly. And honestly, he loves in a way that earthly fathers just aren't even capable of. Because we're not perfect, right? And we're not trying to beat up on dads today. There's a standard that we'll just never reach because we're not God. God doesn't withhold. He doesn't demand. His love is patient. His love is kind. His love endures all things. That is the love of the Father. And it informs everything that he does, including our second transformational truth this morning. And that's this: the Father protects. The Father protects. This one is all about safety. Our Heavenly Father is safe and provides safety. I grew up needing to protect myself a lot. I didn't grow up knowing God, and I didn't grow up with a whole lot of places where I felt actually safe. And, you know, I kind of detailed what was going on with my dad earlier, but that wasn't the only place that I felt unsafe. When I was in third grade, I got jumped for the first time. I was 9 years old, and I got beat up and stomped on and kicked by four other boys. And in that moment, I wasn't able to control things. I wasn't strong enough to protect myself. I didn't know what I was doing. And because of that, I was literally in danger. And so I made up my mind after that moment. I said to myself, I made a vow to myself, not me, not ever again. Nobody's ever going to do something like that to me again. And that thought, that vow would lead me down a path of violence where I would use anger and powering up to control my environment so that I could feel safe. I was never going to be in a place where I didn't feel safe again. And so I became the bully, because if I can hit you first, you're not going to get me. I would dominate relationships and conversations that I was in because that domination made me feel in control and made me feel safe. I would intimidate and intentionally intimidate so that I would know people were afraid of me. But in truth, I was living in fear. I was always felt like I needed to be on guard because you just never know what could happen. I always wanted to be in control so that I couldn't be hurt. I had to protect myself from others and my dad. I had no concept that God could or would protect me. And it wasn't until I went through therapy that I realized I wasn't that scared little boy anymore, and I didn't need to be. By the way, if you think you don't need therapy, it's usually the first sign that you do, okay? Because we all got stuff to work through. It wouldn't be until a little bit later, going through our soul care program that we have here at Crossline, that I would actually let go of that and allow God to have that place in my life. That's why it's something that we want everybody to go through. It's part of our discipleship path here, because we know God's got some important work to do in all of us. And look, I know that not everybody had a similar childhood experience as me. I know that because my therapist told me so. I wasn't aware until she did. As we were kind of going through my life inventory and all this stuff, she just looks up at me and she goes, "You had a really violent childhood." I go, "Did I? Like, is that not, did not everybody have this? Is this not normal? All the kids that I grew up with, we had the same childhood. Did our other people not experience?" You know, she was just like, "No, what you went through is abnormal." I was like, "Oh, okay. All right. Thanks for the info." And so I get that not everybody had this same experience as me, but I can tell you, I know many people who say they understand God protects them, but don't actually live like it. See, when you trust the God the Father for safety, you don't need control. I know a lot of people that feel a need for control. When you trust the Father for protection, you don't have to constantly think about how to protect yourself in every moment, in every relationship, and at every job. When you trust the Father protects, fear doesn't guide your decision making. Because you know, no matter what, the Father has you. He will protect you from others. He will protect you from your environment. And he will even protect you from yourself. Praise God for the times he protected me from myself. It changes you. Do you trust the Father's protection this morning? Do you feel safety with God? When he's near, do you feel secure? See, if your dad never stood up for you when others hurt you, if your dad left when the family needed him the most, if your dad's discipline felt more like rage than guidance, then you know why it's hard to believe that God can be trusted with your safety. I had to develop some truth sayings around this area. I had to develop some things that I would say to myself on repeat so that I could start to change my mind and my spirit. The Psalms were actually a very helpful place for this. And so what I want to do next with you guys is I'm going to read Psalm 91. And as I read this, and maybe you write down Psalm 91 so it's something you can go back. If this is really pinging for you, go back and read it again later. But as I read, I just want you to hear how the Father protects. And I want to encourage you to let these words sink in for you this morning. Psalm 91, starting in verse 1. "Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up in their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. You are not exposed or abandoned. The Father is safe and provides safety. My truth saying that I developed when I was feeling unsafe, when I was feeling a need to grasp for control, was this: I am safe in my Father's arms. I am safe in my Father's arms. It was something that I had to say to myself. And it was hard to say because it wasn't always true for me. Very early on, that was a hard thing for me to say. And it took the Holy Spirit to help me see it. God the Father protects, and with Him, you are safe. We can drop the defenses and just be, knowing that He has us. This takes us to our third core truth this morning. The Father provides. Our parents are supposed to be the people that provide our basic needs, and not just things like food and shelter and clothing, right? All those normal things, but our emotional needs as well. And when that doesn't happen, it leaves a hole. It leaves a soul wound that only God can speak to and heal. Some of you here never heard your dad say, "I'm proud of you," right? Maybe your dad's version of affirmation was, "That's fine," which like is great for evaluating soup at dinner, but not so much for child development, right? Like if you grew up with a lack of shelter or food or clothing, you might have grown up placing so much weight on providing that you became work or career obsessed. Or maybe sometimes people will overspoil their kids in order to compensate for what they didn't get as a child, what wasn't provided for them. If you didn't get a lot of emotional assurance, if your dad didn't say, "I love you," or "I'm proud of you," sometimes that can lead you to seek out love in the wrong places. I got to be honest with you, I still wrestle with this one sometimes. Like when I'm not close to God, the first thing that erodes is my trust in his ability to provide. Right? And I know that. I see it. I start to see myself hoarding money first. Right? I get real tight with my wallet. Then I get tight with my time. I got to protect my time. And then I get tight with my effort. Right? I'm not going to do a bunch of things. I'm just trying to like hunker down because I just don't know when the next provision is going to come. Right? I can see it in my response to things. If your dad provided money but never his presence, if your dad made promises that he never kept, if you always felt like you had to provide for yourself because nobody else would, then you know why it's hard to trust God to meet your needs. The good news is this morning, your heavenly Father provides everything that is good. He withholds no good thing from his children. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 33 speak to this, and these are the words of Jesus. He knows a thing or two about the Father. "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't they far more valuable to him? Aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wild flowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." Man, birds aren't out there holding down a 9-to-5, y'all. Like, they don't got to worry about making ends meet. They just wake up in the morning, go scratch up some worms somewhere, and fly back to their tree. They have a good old time. God takes care of them. God cares about you so much more than a bird. He cares about you so much more. Jesus says he will provide everything that you need. Not that you want, right? Not that you think you need, but he will provide everything that you need. Do we actually trust the Father to provide, to take care of the finances so that we can be generous? Do we trust the Father to provide rest when we need it? Do we trust the Father to provide us with love and care so that we're not seeking it in places that we shouldn't? Do we trust the Father to provide good and guidance when we need it? Do we trust him to provide everything that we need? See, God the Father has promised to provide everything we need and everything that is good for us. I've been chewing on this Psalm 34:10 for a couple months now. It's just been really impactful to me. We're going to put it up on the screen here, Psalm 34:10. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Now imagine a strong young lion, right? That is an apex predator. They have all the abilities and strengths and hunting prowess that they need to go and provide for themselves. And the psalmist says, even that type of being will go hungry. But for those who trust in the Lord, he will withhold no good thing. You know what that means for us this morning? It means if I don't have it, it's because it's not good or he's not done. If there is something that I feel like I need that I don't have, it's because it's not good or he's not done. The Father provides. He provides perfectly because he loves. He will withhold no good thing from you. You just have to trust him. All right, so how do we get to that point, right? How do we take these truths and make them real? Well, this morning, we're going to open up some unique space for you to do just that. We've been praying that this morning would be a paradigm-shifting, marked moment for us. Before we dive into that moment, there are a couple of really big roadblocks that hold us back from experiencing God as Father that I just want to take a moment and clear before we get into this ending worship moment. The first is this. If you haven't said yes to Jesus, you can't know the Father. Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but by me. And so if you've never said yes to Jesus, if you've never chose to put your faith and trust in him as your Savior, you can't fully know and experience the Father. Jesus is our access to the Father. And until we profess belief in Jesus and repent, there is a wall of sin that separates us and the Father. And we need Jesus to come in and tear it down. And so I just want to provide a moment for us to do that. And so if you would bow your head and close your eyes, and if you're here, and that's you, and you're ready, if you're ready to trust Jesus and take that step for the first time, I'm going to pray. And I want you to pray along with me. You can use my words as your own, and you can just say something like this. Heavenly Father, I want to know you. And I know that I need Jesus. And so right now, I put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ. I believe he was born. I believe he died for my sin. And I believe he rose again 3 days later. I turn away from my sin. I turn away from going my way, and I choose right now to go yours. Help me to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's roadblock number one. Roadblock number two is this. You may have been sitting here this morning and had some things come up. Maybe you've got some unresolved issues with your earthly dad or your parents, and you might need to release forgiveness before you can fully experience God the Father. And so I want to do something for you that somebody else did for me as a teenager that allowed me to forgive my dad for the first time. I want to stand in the gap for that person. And so right now, I want you to picture your dad. Picture me, picture him right here. I'm speaking for him. The good, the bad, the ugly. Picture that right now. And I'm going to stand in and I'm going to apologize for some things. I'm going to give you the sorry that you may never hear. Maybe your dad's long gone. I want to stand in for him right now. And my hope is that at the end of this, that you could forgive as you need to. And so right now, I am standing in for every hurtful word. Everything that was said to you that made you feel less than who God created you to be. I'm standing in for every hit, for every hurt, for touches that were not asked for or wanted, for things taken that were not His to take, for the pain, for the scars, for the broken home, for the anger, for the betrayal, for the absence. I'm standing in for the lack of love, for not being safe, for not providing, and for being distant. For all of those, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. Would you please forgive me? Would you release the offense? Let it go and forgive. From here, we're going to open up space for you to spend time with the Father. My prayer is that this morning has sparked something in you where you've realized that maybe you have an area where you don't see God as the perfect Father that He is. I believe God wants to bring healing and revelation to wherever that is for you. And so in a moment, we're going to play the song, Run to the Father. I was listening to this song by myself in my car, parked in back of the old 246 building. And as I was parked back there and this song was playing, I was saying to myself, I am safe in my Father's arms. And as I was worshiping and praying, I saw myself as a little boy running into the wide open arms of God. And He said, I got you. I'm here. I love you and I'm proud of you. And I felt fully seen and embraced and safe in my Father's arms for the very first time. That moment that I had, I'm praying that journey starts for you right now. After this song, there's going to be a prayer and a reflection moment. And I'm hoping that you take this time and use this moment. The Spirit of God wants to meet you. Use this time to release forgiveness. Let go. Let Him love you. Let Him be your safe place. Trust Him to provide. Soak in His presence. Don't worry about the people around you. Don't be self-conscious about emotion. Just be in this moment and run to the Father however you need to. If you need to get up and go to the wings and just spend some time by yourself, feel free to do that. We're in this moment together. And so as we get ready to get started, I just want you to do something for me. I just want you to close your eyes, and I just want you to imagine yourself. I want you to imagine yourself small and in a sea of people, tired, torn apart by the weight of the world that you're carrying. Now imagine that God has a spotlight on you and only you, because to Him, You are his child that he loves. And he can't wait to look you in the eyes and wrap his arms around you and hear about your day and share your joys and your triumphs, your heartaches and your losses. Let's take this time and run to the Father together.